you in the future. In the future. In the future. 104.5 WRFU.
Hey everybody, welcome to another show of East to West. Man, am I glad that we can sit around the mic for the next few minutes and just again talk about love and hope and what that means to me, and hopefully what it means to you as well. We know that this in this world, we can definitely use more love, especially after the recent events this week. We'd just like to take a moment and send our thoughts and our prayers to all the families affected by the shootings down in Atlanta. We just send our prayers and just hope that there can be some peace and reconciliation and just whatever comes out of this, that Lord, you just be with them and carry on and just love them and take care of them and protect them and just help them to just understand, if possible, why their loved ones are no longer here and why such horrible things happen to so many people. And it just seems like more and more these days, it's just more and more horrible, violent acts are being committed. And just, it's just how this lack of, I don't know, just considering the humanity in each one of us is just, it's just being trampled on. That whole idea of loving your neighbor and loving, you know, your strangers and caring for those and just, I think that's all just being trampled on, and I think it's just being set aside, and we've lost the significance of what it means to truly love one another. And so today, the last couple of weeks at my church, Pastor Justin has been speaking on I am statements. And so he's been working out of John chapter 15, the first few verses. But I'd also like to expound on that. So I'd like to start off by just kind of going through what these verses mean and what they are to me, and then how these verses really set up what comes next. Because back in chapter 14, it says, we'll start with 14, verse 31. It says, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. It says here in verse 34, it says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are to love one another. By this, people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So that's in chapter 14. So to set the context up, Jesus is having his last meal with the disciples. This is the night before he's betrayed and goes to the cross and dies. So he's trying to, I guess, do a summary of his last 3 years with them and to just to help them get a good foundation for when he's gone and then they start to carry on. You know, so he's talking about love. He's just, the whole theme here is love. He's talking about it. In verse 14, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, let nobody comes unto the Father except through me. And then he says, you know, he talks about that he loves us so much that he's not going to leave us alone when he goes. He's going to send a helper. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to help guide us and teach us and guide us on this rocky road of life. You know, and it says that, you know, he just talks about love. He just continually keeps talking about love. And what a great point that Justin made this morning is that when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he washed all their feet, including Judas. Even though he knew Judas was going to betray him and ultimately lead the men to him that are going to carry him off to his death, he still washed his feet. You know, how many times do I look back in my life and I And I just, you know, have seen people or have met people, and I just think, oh, they're just going to mistreat me. They're not going to treat me right. So I've just walked away multiple times. I've just walked away and not taken the chance to have that opportunity to show love to them, you know. But Jesus doesn't do that here. Jesus knows Judas is going to betray him. Knows Judas's thoughts, he knows his hearts, but he didn't skip Judas. He included Judas in this act that at the time was probably the lowliest act of any servant, was to wash people's feet, because back then they just wore sandals. And so they just would walk through anything, you know, and then when they would get home upon entering the house, they would have people wash their feet, and that usually was delegated to the lowest servant. And so here's Jesus, the light of the world, the love of the world, now taking the lowliest spot in front of his disciples by washing their feet. And why did he do that? Because he did it out of love. He did it to show an example that we're to love no matter what. We're to love when they annoy us. We're to love when they bless us. We're to love when they cheer us. We're to love when they ignore us. We're to love, 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 love. And I think if we can truly, truly get back to this notion that we're all worthy of love, and that we can see the humanity in people, I think it's just going to change so much in this society. I mean, I just love it when I get to hear stories of people falling in love, people talking about their friends, to people talking about their family, people talking about the strangers that they haven't met yet. I mean, it's just amazing when that conversation is founded on the foundation of love. So in verse 15, it starts, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch is in me." And it says, you know, it goes on down here to say, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine." And then it says again, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." You know, it just keeps talking about this whole idea of abiding in Christ, like Pat, Justin was saying earlier. He says, you know, it's a different to be a Christ follower than a Christ knower, you know. And I think the difference between that, the slash between those, is love. Because I mean, if you, it clearly says in the Bible, if you say you love God but you hate your neighbor, it's not the gospel. It's not the truth. And so he just goes on and just says, you know, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you wish, it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified in heaven." Glorified. Then he goes back again and he repeats. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So here is Jesus just doing a recap of this powerful lesson that he lived every moment of his life teaching and living out. This grand idea of just loving people, and how when we love people, how it just transforms their lives. I think back to all the miracles and all the healings and all the people that were blessed and just were loved by him. And I just try to picture, I know it's not in the Bible, but I just try to picture how many of those people that Jesus healed, the blind man, you know, the little girl he raised from the dead, the leper, you know, how many were in the crowd at the feet of Jesus at the cross? How many were there seeing this guy die that loved them so much to heal them. And it's just amazing when, I just think when people get healed and they get to experience the healing power of God, you know, in that, in their physical situation or in their mental situation or whatever, but yet they get to look up and see this guy who died on the cross to save their soul, to save them, to not just save them from their sickness, but to save them for himself. And it's just crazy. It's just the powerful love. It talks about, you know, no greater love is for someone to lay down their life for a friend. Now, I don't always think that means you have to go out and die, physically die for somebody. But I think it's laying down your life means that you're becoming second. You know, there's a great series out there called I Am Second. You know, and it just teaches on this idea that we are truly second, that we should be humble servants to our fellow brothers and sisters, and that we should be looking for opportunities to serve them and to comfort them. You know, it can't be a selfish love. It can't be a love that, oh, I love myself, but I'm not going to love others. Because Jesus clearly says in verse 12 of 14, chapter 15, which he said clearly in chapter 13, he says, this is my commandment. And a commandment is, it's not so much a guidance. It isn't so much as a, you know, one of my favorite movies is Pirates of the Caribbean. I love it, love it, love it. So in the first one, they capture the girl and Catherine. I think her name is Catherine. And they bring her to the ship, and, you know, and the captain is there, the pirate. And she yells out, parley, parley. Now, I guess in the old pirate code book, parley meant, you know, you can't hurt me. You can't touch me. You can't do anything bad to me because I've claimed parley. And then the pirate, the captain comes up. I don't know why I can't remember their names right now. This is killing me. But he came over and he says, you know, parley, that's more of a guideline. That's not really a rule. Well, that's not that here. The commandment is a rule. And if you abide in Christ, this is an unbreakable rule. This is an unbreakable. This is the deal breaker between real gospel and false gospel. This is everything that is built on in our relationship with Christ by abiding in Christ, not just knowing him, but abiding in Christ. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. He chose us. And appointed us that we should go bear fruit, and that our fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Here we go. Here's that word again. These things I command you so that you will love one another. You know, people talk about whatever, you know, Jesus was whatever, but you can't argue that Jesus' mission in life, his teachings, his dealings with people, his walking with people, was based on this grand idea that if we just reached out in love for each other, life is wonderful. Life will be so much more than we could ever imagine it to be. I mean, it would just be, you know, oh my gosh. I just long for the day when we can wake up and love wake up before the sun comes up. That's what I long for is to wake up and know that Man, I'm just going to go ahead and get the love on people today. I'm just going to get to go out and call people out by their love, by my love for them. And it's amazing. It's amazing when you get that mindset and you can just get that different look on things. It's just amazing, you know, and we gotta find some way to stop the violence. We gotta find a way to start letting people know that hate never wins. It may look like it's winning, but it's not winning. That love will win. Love ultimately will win. Because God wins, and God is a God of love. He is. He loves us. He loves us. And if you're out there and somebody has told you that God hates you, or that God doesn't care about you, or that God doesn't know you, doesn't care about the circumstances you're in, I'm telling you right now, that is an absolute lie. Absolute lie. John 15 tells us it's an absolute lie. He says, you are to love your neighbor as I have loved you. He loved you from the very moment you were born. He loves you. There's no changing that. We can argue this, the merits of this Bible all day long. We can argue the merits of what's written in it. But we can't argue the merits of the unchangeable truth that Jesus loves you and he's always loved you and that he not only wants you to know him, he wants you to abide in him. I think of the times when my grand boys come over and I get to hang out with them and you know, when we're playing together on the floor, it's phenomenal. I love being next to them, and I love knowing them. But when it's done, and I'm on the couch, and they crawl up, and they snuggle up next to me, and they hold me, and they abide in me, I'm telling you, that is a feeling that you just, it's unexplainable. It's just, I could stay there all day. And that is my picture of Jesus. Yes, Jesus loves walking with us. Jesus loves talking to us. Jesus loves hearing about our day. Jesus loves just hearing about us. But when we at the end of the day, when we can just climb into his lap and just snuggle in and get close and he can put his arms around us and we truly abide in him, oh my gosh, I'm telling you, that's his happy place, is when we're abiding in Christ. Because then we get to experience the love that he shows, and then we get to know what that feels like, and then we can go and express that to other people. We can go and express that. You know, in this world, I think that term abiding love, I think it's being turned more into a selfish love. I think It's sometimes what can you do for me love? You know, it's not what can I do for you kind of love. And it's gotten backwards. And we know that the devil likes to do that. He likes to switch things. He likes to make it opposite of what it is, you know. And so it's just, Jesus has to just keep reminding us that the foundation of our relationship with him, with other people, with strangers that we're going to meet, is this grand notion that it's a servant love that we have. Matthew 25, my life verse. I talk about it all the time. I will never wear out talking about Matthew 25, where he says, when you went to the sick, you went to the poor, you went to the hurting, you went to those in prison. You know, you went out. You served them. You didn't just go out to know them. You didn't wait till they came up to your doorstep. You went out and sought them out. And you sought them out to serve them with love. You know, not to ridicule them, not to try to figure out why they're there, not to try to figure out how to get them out sometimes even, but just to be there to be a servant, to be love. And I just love it when I hear these stories of these people who go to these villages and who just go to these hospitals, and they go to these, you know, places where they protect the environment, they protect life, and they serve life. And it's amazing to hear their stories of, you know, how love won, how love changed a life, you know. And it's just, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love talking about this grand thing, this grand idea, this grand notion of life and love, and how when it's done correctly, it just runs so well. You know, I used to be in the Air Force, and I used to work on jet engines, and it was phenomenal. I loved seeing how all the pieces went together from the beginning, you know, to the fan case, all the way out to the combustion chamber. I loved how all those pieces had to fit just right to work correctly. And if you had one piece out of line or misplaced, or if a fan blade wasn't tight quite enough, or if you didn't have your, you know, your safety wiring quite right, you know, then the engine wouldn't function properly. You know, so you would have to go back and you'd have to do all these checks and all these tests and all this to make sure. But man, when everything was correct and you fired that thing up, oh my gosh, it was an experience I will never forget, hearing a J57 engine on a C-141 when it's in full throttle. It's amazing. Do you just feel, you just stand there and you can feel the power of this engine. You don't even have to really be near it, but you can feel the power of this engine. And you know that this engine is going to be powerful enough to take this multi-ton airplane that looks like a toothpaste tube with a fish tail and some wings, and it's going to be able to lift it off of the ground and take it where it needs to go. It's just powerful. So when our life is aligned right, and we are abiding in God, and we are abiding in His love, it's like the most powerful engine in the world. You know, people can just feel that rumbling and feel that noise and feel that, oh, and they're excited by that. It just brings them hope. You know, and it's just that love just explodes. When you pull full throttle on the love of God that abides in us, when we allow God to pull that throttle all the way to full, and that engine revs up, and you just, people just hear, oh, what is that? You know, and people just know that they can take, that they can be taken out of whatever situation they're in, and they could be placed in just this moment of love, this moment of peace and serenity. And it's amazing. But we who call ourselves Christians have to learn that it's not just about walking with Jesus, and it's not just about loving Jesus. We have to abide in Jesus, because there we get strength. We draw strength. We draw hope, and we draw love for people. I mean, I just can't imagine what it's like to be somebody that looks out into the world and goes, there's no hope. There's no hope. Why bother? There's no hope. God could have looked down on us all those years ago and said, why bother? There's no hope. I know I'm going to come down and die and rise again, and People are going to believe in me, but this world is still going to be messed up. And it's still going to be a mess. But he did it anyway. You know why? Because he abided in the Father. And the Father is love. So he got to experience the love of God. And he, in turn, shared that so his disciples and anyone who was in contact with this guy, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even though they argued with him, they felt the love of God. There's passages in the Bible where they're like, how do we deal with this guy? We don't know. Because back then it was cut and dry. Either you were the religious uppities or you weren't. And so they didn't know how to deal with Jesus because they had heard things that they'd never heard before. But they should have known about it because they had Isaiah. They had Daniel. They had the Old Testament. And everything in the Old Testament pointed to the love of God. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, when somebody is struggling, when somebody is hurting, when somebody feels like they're about to lose it all, and they're abiding in the Father, and they see somebody that's about to lose it all, and the devil comes along and says, throw them in the fire. Their situation is hopeless. Their life is over. They've made too many mistakes. They're unsavable. Throw them in the fire. I want the devil to immediately look in their life and go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Didn't I throw one in the fire? Well, how come I see two? How come I see three? I want the devil to see that person struggling through that fire. I want him to see us abiding with that person, helping that person. And I want them to see Jesus. I want them to see that Jesus, even in this fire, is still with them. No matter what the devil throws at them, we got to be defenders. We got to be defenders of this book. We got to be defenders of God. We've got to say, you know, we love you. The devil is not going to destroy you. The devil's not going to win. He's not going to take over because we're here with you. And we're going to abide in you. We're going to walk with you. We're going to talk with you. We're going to sit. Whatever it takes, brother and sister, we're going to do it. Whatever it takes, you know. I hear all the time, I hear some people say, hey, whatever you need, whatever you need. Do you really mean that? Whatever you need? You know, because Jesus does. Jesus says, whatever you need, ask. Ask. It may not look like what you think it's going to look like when he responds and gives you what he knows you need, but he's still going to respond. And so I just ask that you guys just take this week, this beautiful week, it's supposed to be nice, get out, be a servant to somebody, serve somebody, bless somebody, find somewhere that you can serve. And I'm telling you, when you do it, it's just like the greatest feeling you'll ever get because we're really doing what this world was intended to be for anyway. This world wasn't intended for all this hatred and turmoil and violence. The world wasn't created for this. The world was created out of this grand notion that God loved us so much that he wanted to walk with us and abide with us. And no matter what it took, he was going to accomplish that. And he's still seeking that today. You know, he's still walking the earth looking for a heart that'll turn to him, that will love him and bless him. And so with that, I just want to close out today and just say, thanks guys for tuning in. Again, go out and love somebody. You know, don't make a friend a stranger. And more importantly, make a stranger a friend. Let them know that in this vast mess that we live in, that there's still moments of love and hope and opportunity. And we'll just see you again next week. Again, get out and love on somebody this week. I plan on doing it. I get excited every day about doing it. And I know once you've done it once or twice, you'll get excited about doing it. And so just have a great day. Have a great night. Get out. Get for a walk. Enjoy some of the rest.